Oh, yes. If you are wondering where you are at, yes, you are on Eagle FM. And here, right here in Namibia. If you are anywhere wondering where am I found myself, so you are on Eagle FM. And very good morning to you. And it's a Friday morning. So welcome to Unpacking the Day. On Friday morning, on this Friday morning, the 17th of October, the year 2025. So thanks for joining us this morning, and thank you for choosing Eagle FM to be in your company at this point in time. My name is Mike Oshoveli, and this is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what's really going on in business, economics, and politics. And every day, every weekday, we cut through the noise. We cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories and trends and numbers making the headlines. So we keep it clear, a little witty, and always curious, asking the question that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We're here to unpack what others are saying, spark meaningful conversation so that you can be part of the bigger conversation as well. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So, and if you're just coming through now, so good morning and welcome wherever you find yourself on this Friday morning. Friday is always, you know, it's always bring a different vibe. And hopefully that vibe would help you to unpack with me with whatever is coming to you this morning. So yeah, today is the 17th of October, and on every day we start with our on this day in Africa, what happened in the course of history in Africa, you know, on the 17th of October. So, and welcome to the segment where we breathe life into history one day at a time. So now, in 1946, on the 16th of October, no, the 17th of October, so it was the birth of Marcel Grasa. You know, do you remember the Marcel, the first lady of the Mozambique president? So yeah, first lady of not of the Mozambique president, the first lady of Mozambique. She was born in Gaza. The place is called Gaza, not the Gaza in Palestine, but in Gaza in Mozambique. Later to become a prominent political figure, and the only woman to have been a first lady of two countries, you know, Mozambique and South Africa. So it is a birthday for Graça Machel. So yes. And on the very same day in 1966, South Africa, the ANC leader, Walter Sisulu, was arrested for not possessing a reference book and later confined to his home for 5 years. So, yes, Sisulu was then rearrested again in 1961 for not possessing a reference book. So, and in 1961, on the 16th of October, I mean the 17th of October, why am I going back on the 16th? So on the 17th of October, 1961, the Algerian National People's Assembly convened a symposium under the slogan, "The river is full, the river is still full of blood in the eyes of Algerians." So it tied to Algerian commemoration of immigration. So this day, Algeria commemorate Day of Migration. And on the 17th of October 1970, Anwar Sadat was sworn in as the third president of Egypt. That was a significant, you know, moment in the country's political history. So, and on the 17th of October is actually observed as a international day for the eradication of poverty. International Day for the Eradication of Poverty. So this day was first commemorated in 1981 when over 100,000 people gathered in Paris at the Trocadero, the site where the Universal Declaration of Human Rights was actually signed. Yeah, to honor victim of extreme poverty, hunger, violence, and fear. So the event emphasized that poverty is a violation of human rights and called for collective action to address it. So in 1992, the United Nations as General Assembly officially declared October 17 as the International Day for the Eradication of Poverty through Resolution 47/196. So hopefully, we do our best to actually eradicate the poverty in Namibia. So today is International Day for the Eradication of Poverty. So good morning, and our thought for the day, this Friday, you become wise when you begin to run out of money. So you become wise when you begin to run out of money. So this is a Ghanaian proverb, and it means that financial hardship teaches important life. It teaches important life lesson. So when money is scarce, people learn to manage resources wisely, become more prudent, and think carefully about their decisions. So, so this wisdom often comes from experience with adversity, when you have adversity, and not from having plenty of money. So the proverb highlights how challenge can foster maturity and practical knowledge that lead to a better financial and life choices. So you become wise when you begin to run out of money. So that's our thought for the day. Hopefully, whatever decision you make or choices you make, you think carefully about your decisions. So welcome. And if you're just joining us, this is Unpacking the Day. Our time is about 12 minutes past the hour of 8. And what you can expect, what we're going to talk about this morning, the term called resource nationalism. But we're going to look at in terms of countries in Africa are pushing to get a bigger slice of the pie when it comes to their own natural resources. So that's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at that in that angle. So, and our front page is looking at our beef industry. So what is hitting our beef sector? So we're going to also look at that. We're going to go into that story and find out exactly what is going on. And your participation, of course, will be also part of the show as well. So good morning to you, and welcome. So we will be back with our first item on the show. Stay tuned.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna e matina omjo. Chikao shafa sana na longe shifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyawo ota ingongo tisa mwene. Anange shifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayakuro nirandi soma yoe yonge shifa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa letu. Moambo dengira soma kodara hita tuimu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano oniaji. Eagle FM.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, You can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into...
If you've reached that stage in life where you are tired of everything, where each day is just routine. Dah, yammer me oh. No, seriously, I am genuinely sorry for you. Because you clearly haven't been polarified. Like, boring day at the Spani. Polanify your lunch hour with a delicious Polana curry. Chewing through yet another stale sandwich. Polanify your burger with a little mac and cheese. Tired of chewing the same shandy? Polanify your munchies with air-fried Polana pasta chips. Come on, life's too short for boring. Polanify every moment with Pasta Polana, a proud product of Namib Mills.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
Awuyembo. Welcome, welcome, welcome one, welcome one, welcome all to Unpacking the Day, your go-to show for making sense of the headlines that matter to us here in Namibia. You know what? Jesus. This morning, I woke up of having a little slight of headache, and then I took the pills, I think my wife's pills. So, and my friend, as I'm sitting here, I'm struggling not to, I'm so drowsy. So these pills have made me drowsy. So, and I'm really, really like struggling, like not even to sleep. Oh man, what's such a mistake? Yeah, it was a mistake, really. I don't know what type of pills were they. So, but they made me horribly, horribly drowsy. So yeah, but I will pull through. I will definitely pull through. So welcome. So if you're just joining us, this is Unpacking the Day. So my name is Michael Chevalier. And this morning, we're looking at a growing trend, you know, a growing trend rippling across Africa. So what is being called the resource rationalism, resource nationalism. So I should have actually maybe talked to David. He's the one who have done political science. You know, give us somehow, what is report, okay? What is resource nationalism in a broader context? But from here, resource nationalism, it's essentially a push by countries in Africa to get a bigger slice, of the pie when it comes to now their own natural resources, things, mining, minerals, you name it. So it's countries saying, these are countries saying, hey, these valuable resources beneath our soil, so we want a bigger slice of the pie. So, and we want our people to benefit more directly from them. So that's basically what this is all about. And we have seen this fire ignite starting in the Sahel in the Sahel region of West Africa, with countries like Mali, Burkina Faso, and Niger taking back more control over their mining operations. So, and now the heat is turning up in Southern Africa. So the heat is actually turning up in Southern Africa. We have now Zambia, Zimbabwe, and even right here, our neighbor Botswana are making some significant policy shift. You know, some significant policy shift, and it's got some of us, you know, thinking, and probably you as well, what does this mean for us? So what does this mean for us here in Namibia? So, and that's what we are probably going to look at. So, and that's what I invite you to come along, Let's unpack this together. Let's unpack what is happening. What is happening actually? So, Botswana, let's start with Botswana. So, Botswana, a country whose economy is heavily reliant on diamond, has just announced a new rule, and the rule is mining companies operating there will now have to give up 24%, of their mining permits to local investors. All right? So 24% of their mining permits to local investors. So and this is a big deal. This is actually quite a big deal. For years, these multinational companies have been digging up Botswana's wealth, and while the country has benefited, Botswana have really benefited from these resources. So the desire for more direct local ownership is clearly growing in Botswana. So think about it like this, okay? Think about it like owning a popular restaurant. Let's say you're owning a popular restaurant in Windhoek. So now what is happening now in Botswana is like, okay, you own this popular restaurant in Windhoek. Suddenly you are told you have to give up, or you have to give 25% or 24% of your shares to a group of some local entrepreneurs. So that's actually a significant shift in control. So, and that's actually what is happening in Botswana. So, and it's not just Botswana. Eh? It's not just Botswana. Zambia, the copper giant of Africa, so has introduced a new regulation demanding that mining firms. So in Zambia, it's a little bit different. Here, they are demanding that mining firm at least buy 40% of their goods and services from the Zambian companies. So these mining firms in Zambia buy at least 40% of their goods and services from Zambian companies. So yeah, that's what Zambia is actually they're shifting. That's what they want. That's what the policy is. That's the change in the policy. So and this sounds straightforward. It sounds straightforward, but the reality can be a little bit more complex. Okay, and I think we're gonna look at that a little bit more deeper later. So the report we have seen suggests that while the intention is to empower local Zambian businesses, so the whole idea, the whole policy is actually to empower local Zambian businesses, a lot of what currently called local procurement might actually be from the foreign-owned companies operating in Zambia. So that's actually, that make it a little bit complex when you look at it. So the question becomes, now, when it comes now that 40% should be actually, should be at least bought from their good local, from the Zambian companies, good and service bought from local company. Now the question becomes, are we truly boosting, Zambian businesses? So in terms of talking that Zambian business, a lot of what currently quote now that local procurement might actually be from foreign owned companies that are operating in Zambia. So now, if we do that, if you do now, you buy now 40% of goods and services from this company, you might actually buying this from foreign-owned companies operating in Zambia. Do you understand? So the question becomes, are we truly boosting the Zambian business or just giving a slightly different set of foreign companies a leg up? Yeah? So this is a crucial point. I think this is a very crucial point actually to unpack. Now, and we're going to look at that. So then we have Zimbabwe. Okay? So Zimbabwe a major player. Zimbabwe also is a major player in lithium. So actually in lithium, a mineral increasingly vital for our modern world. This is a mineral that is very increasingly becoming very, 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 very vital in our modern world. So now they are planning to give the state a free 26% stake in all new mining projects. So any new mining project, there will be a free stake, a free 26% stake. So this is about now for even in Zambia or Botswana, this is about increasing national control. So and plain and simple, it's about increasing the national control, the national control on these resources. It's a part of a broader strategy they have had for a while in Zimbabwe. So aiming to get local participation in a valuable industries up from quarter to 80%. You understand? So that has been part of their national strategy. Now, the idea is that greater national ownership of these minerals will fuel broader industrial development within Zimbabwe. So that's the idea. So that's the grand scheme of things that, well, the greater, if we own much of national minerals, that will actually fuel broader industrial development within Zimbabwe. So that's what they think. Now, maybe the question that we can ask is, what is driving this? What is really driving this move for these African countries? So at the heart of that is, it's about control and benefit, really. Basically, it's about, we want to have resources in our control. There are a lot of you guys that comes up here that if you don't own something, how do you control it? So that's basically it. They want to have that control and benefit, and also benefiting from the minerals. So for many years, many African nations have felt that the vast riches in their countries were primarily benefiting multinational corporations, while the local population saw little of that wealth, you know, trickle down to their community. And this is in reference now to what we were talking yesterday, where I said, okay, new budget, we're talking about the development budget or capital budget. So it's the same thing, more like I'm looking for the question that I was asking, that whether you are, I'm just asking the community where they are mining, has that mining that operate in your community, has that changed the lives of the people in that community? Not, let alone the whole of Namibia. So that's where the problem comes, where it says when I ask what is actually driving this, it's actually control and benefit. So many African countries have vast riches in our countries, but these riches don't primarily benefiting Namibians or Zambian or whoever, but actually multinational or corporations. So that's the drive. And this is about, it's also about now, the drive is also about now changing that narrative and saying, hey, hold on, man. Our resources, our rules, and a bigger share of our people. That's what we want. So it's these our resources, and this is our rules, and a bigger share of for our people as well. So now, there are a couple of things that I said earlier on, and we're going to unpack that. Let's first of all, I told you I love numbers because numbers speaks a lot. So let's look at what really this means. All right? So now, in Botswana, where diamonds are king, because, you know, when you look at where the diamonds actually, you know, took this country, so diamonds are king in Botswana. And this 24% transfer of payments is, as I said, is a big deal. It is a big deal. It's about giving local player a foot in the door and potentially a much bigger one. So in an industry that has been largely dominated by really global giants. So, well, when you look at that, and we're going to come back after this.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
Great news. Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Welcome back. A very good morning to you. And thanks for joining us. And today is Monday. Today is Monday. And the villager is out. Make sure that you subscribe to the village's newspaper. Or what you need to do is just send your name, send a WhatsApp message with your name and email to 081-241-44, 081-241-44. So make sure that you receive this digital newspaper on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So make sure that you subscribe so that you can receive this for free. So exactly for free. Yeah. All right. So we're looking at what actually this means now. This move. What does this move actually? We talk about in Botswana where it is actually about giving local players a foot in the door, you know, and then potentially a much bigger, and then in an industry that actually, you know, the diamond has really dominated by a global giant. So this is now to say, look, we want hand in the foot in the door, really. Yeah. So and then there is Zambia. So and the Zambians are saying, okay. Billions are being made here. Okay, there are a lot of billions money are being made here, but how much of that stays in Zambia? So that's the question now they're asking. What? How much of that is actually staying in Zambia? How much of it goes to Zambian businesses, as Zambian workers, Zambian skills? So that's what they're looking at. And the number speaks for themselves. The number speaks for themselves. One report suggests Zambian represent only about 5%. 5% of the mining sector's value chain. So, and even when company claim to be local, many are just subsidiary of the foreign future, of the foreign firm. You know? So now when we're talking about, so forcing now, when you're forcing 40% local procurement, it's a clear signal. That's a clear signal that we want our own business to grow alongside this vital industry. So that's the point. And Zimbabwe, with its lithium wealth, it's taking it a step further. They are taking it a step further, wanting that 26% state stake. Yeah? So, and when you look at this, this is not just actually about money. It's about national ownership. It's about national ownership, about having a say in how these strategic resources are managed for the long-term benefits of the country. So that's basically what is this all about. So, and hopefully, you know, in the end, they achieve what they want. So now let's approach this from two different views. Okay. We're going to look at now they move from two different approach or different views, if you like. Now, on one hand, you have the proponent, you know, of this move, of this resource nationalism, okay? So the proponent are saying, they argue that it's a long overdue. That's something that's long overdue. It's about rectifying history imbalances, boosting local economies, creating jobs, and ensuring that countries benefit from wealth they possess. So that's the argument of proponent. And they point out, and they point to the fact that many African nations are still grappling with poverty and underdevelopment. So despite having abundant natural resources. So this is a classic, you know, when I was talking to Dr. Stadler the other day, this is a classic case of the resource curse that we're talking about. Okay. The resource curse that we're talking about, where abundant natural wealth paradoxically lead to slower economic growth and worse development outcome because of let's say, for example, of corruptions, weak governance, and definitely exploitations. So now, for example, let's get an example here. So yeah, look at Democratic Republic of Congo. So despite being incredibly rich country in minerals like cobalt and copper, so it remained one of the poorest country on earth. But it's absolutely rich in those kind of minerals. And these are minerals that the world is after. But look where they are. It's one of the poorest country on earth. That's a resource curse, my friend. Okay? So, and then the other. So now advocates for resource nationalism, those now who are advocating this, this is our chance, they said. This is our chance to break that cycle. And that also comes, this is also what is happening in Namibia. There is now to say, look, there is a time where we need to break this cycle. So we need to actively drive this resource towards national development. So they believe that, and the proponent believe these new policies for the countries that we have mentioned will foster a local expertise, encourage value addition within the country. So, and ultimately lead to more sustainable and equitable growth. So now, but always, there are other side to the story. So there are other side to this story. So the critics, okay? And often, this comes from the business and investment side. So, which also raising a valid concern, okay? We're not dismissing, they're also raising a very valid concern. So they argue that while the intention might be good, okay? This resource rationalization, nationalism, while the really intention is good, the implementation could be tricky. Okay? The implementation could be tricky. The key challenge, as one of the analysts put it, is not just getting quotas. It's not about the 24% or 40% and 23% that you allocated to that. So, but building a competitive ecosystem. That's the challenge. So according to one of the analysts, that building a competitive ecosystem, that is actually the challenge. So, and this means, and this means asking ourselves now that can local business in Botswana, Zambia, or Zimbabwe, or here, actually provide the goods and services that these giant mining companies need? If you now say, okay, 40% should be provided, be those suppliers and things should come actually from this company, okay? I mean, from local businesses, okay? 40%. Now, the question is, do they have the technology? Do they have the capacity? Do they have the skilled workforce? you know, and the financial backing, because that's very important, and the financial backing to compete effectively. So if not, then, you see, if not, this is now to support, to provide now the good and service to these giant mining companies. Do we have all that? Do we have the technology? Do we have the capacity? And skilled workforce. So, and also, as I said, financial backing, do we have that? So if not, this policy could lead to higher operation cost for the mining, for the mining companies. Potentially now, potentially that would, potentially that would also stop or deter deter investment. Well, and if investment dries up, who loses? Who really loses? If now the investment actually dries up, who actually really loses? So, but it could be whoever is losing is the job creation. It could be job creation. It could be government revenues from taxes. It could be ultimately the very development these policies aim to achieve. So it's just something to think about, really. So think about it in this way, okay? If a mining company is forced to buy from a local supplier that can't deliver on time and to the required standard, it can hold up operation, it can stop operation, because the operation can, because things are not coming on time, it's also not up to standard. So, and that's a loss for everyone. If the operation come to an end or come to a halt or come to a stop, this is, and that is a loss for everyone. So it's a tricky balance that we have to apply here. Now, the concern is that without strong support system, without strong support system locally, so, and if we have intention of actually providing SCADA service, we need to start already, you know, now creating this strong support system. So, and that's the concern. Without this strong support system, like tailored financing for local entrepreneurs and strong training programs, so which was also Dr. Stadler was talking about, these quotas, no matter how much you're given, these quotas might become more of a burden than actually a benefit. So we could end up with a situation where local companies are given preferential, they are given preferential treatment, but struggle actually to deliver. And that would lead to frustration of all sides, of the mining companies and, you know, the government. So it's a concern. So, and here's the big question. Here's the big question for us. Now, especially here in Namibia, what does this regional shift now, you know, this regional shift means for our own mining sector? So Namibia is blessed with wealthy, you know, with wealth of minerals, you know, diamonds, uranium, zinc, you name it. So are we ready to consider our own moves towards greater national benefit from these resources? Are we confident in the capacity that we're talking about of our local businesses to step up if opportunity arises? And what about companies themselves? Okay, what about companies themselves? How do they navigate this changing landscape? So they need to be profitable, yes, but increasingly they are also being asked to be part of partner in the national development. So we have got our phone line open. So I want to hear from you and what are your thoughts and on this trend of resource nationalism, which is actually sweeping across Southern Africa now. And do you think it is a positive step for our continent, or are there potential pitfall we need to be wary of? So 08333 66091, 08333 66091. Do you think it is a positive step for our continent in terms of this trend of resource nationalism? So you may come through. Telephone number 0833 66 091. Coming to you live from Ondangwe Studio.
Omudiha utekirwa kaguna I matina omjo. Chikao shafasa na nana longeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyawo ota ingongo tisamwene. Anageshifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa olonjika. Seitha nina omayaguro ni randitoma yue yongeshifa yoyo kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa letu. Moambo, dengira selma, konaraje katuimu. Datu ndatu, heari jamano tano, oaniyaj. Eagle FM, so high.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Yes, welcome, 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 of course. And if you have the Eagle FM mobile app, if you have that one, you will be connected to Eagle FM wherever you are. So you could be, you could be in the meeting and you're bored. And if you have that earplug in your, you could listen to your program or whatever. I'm just giving an example. I'm not saying go in the meeting and not being following. So it's something you can get a company of that. So that's the beauty of our, Eagle FM mobile app. So, and you could be anywhere in the world and still continue and still not missing anything what Eagle FM is bringing to you. So, can you come through and have your say? So, maybe if we just recap a little bit of what we were talking about, if you're just joining us, there's a growing trend, and this is a resource nationalism. A resource nationalism is on the rise, in Southern Africa. And with Botswana, Zambia, and Zimbabwe implementing stricter local ownership and procurement rules in their mining sector. So, and why this move? So this is now driven by a desire to ensure that the benefit from natural resources directly actually empower local populations and national economies. So that's the drive of the. There are challenges, though. It's not something that is a smooth sailing. The success of these policies hinges on the actual capacity of local businesses to compete and deliver, not just on a regulatory mandate, not just that there's some kind of a regulatory mandate, but on an actually capacity of our local business and to be able to compete and deliver. So, and our question, Namibia question is, when we in Namibia need to consider where we stand on this growing wave. So, our current policies sufficient to maximize local benefit from our own rich resources? Are they sufficient? So, or they need to change? And remember, in some cases, we just have maybe 10%, 3% or something like that. So, and what steps can we take to strengthen our local industries to truly capitalize on any future shift in resource governance? A very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
It's Mike.
Yes.
Mike, what's the mic?
Yeah, bro.
What's up?
Sharp, man. How are you?
It's all great.
It's Friday. Normally, you guys on Friday are like that.
Yeah. In terms of natural resources, when we talk about natural resources, we're talking about
natural resources, but we're talking also what is the whole idea of resource nationalism.
Yeah. I understand. That is where I'm going.
Oh, okay.
We are talking about commodities or resources that belongs to the state.
Yeah.
And not only the government or individuals.
Mm.
You look at the policies that we are somehow have in place.
Sometimes people mix up. Sometimes people actually get mixed up when you talk that belong to the state and not to the government or not to, to individuals. So what is the difference?
Government comes and goes, state remains.
Exactly.
And individuals are individuals. An individual that's not supposed to own something that is actually owned by, that is by supposed to be owned by each and everybody. You understand what I'm saying? So the policy that we are actually having here, compared to the one that the Botswana's government is proposing, according to my idea, my opinion, it does not, it's not going to work. Let me start with the one that we have here. You got an individual who got an EPL or that license.
I can't hear you anymore.
Hello?
Okay, I can hear you now.
I think the policy, if I'm not mistaken, the policy that we somehow have here is that an individual can go and apply for that license, the mining license, and then get it 100%. Now, it's happened that most of those people that apply don't really have the resources. And because they don't have resources, what they do is they partner with internationals.
And then
at the end of the day, you know, business is just business. When those guys come here, they come here for money and they want to win. Then they use the system of capitalism. Capitalist. You understand? When we say capitalist, you understand what they are saying. So at the end of the day, eventually, this whole license, this whole thingy, end up in the hand of the foreigners.
It's still actually owned by, because they have a bigger share in the company.
Of course. But their share is based on nothing. You see? They can actually say, you know, for me to set up this plant, this will cost me this how much, and you cannot. So let me just buy you out. So subsequently, that mine end up to be owned 100%
by foreigners.
By foreigners. So my idea was then, this resources or commodities belongs to the state. So because it belongs to the state, the state has to be automatically hold a certain percent, even 40 or 50, automatically. We issue to you, you hold the leftover, what the state left for you. And it's up to you when you are going to sell it. The one that is going to buy it must make sure that the state holds 45 or 50% from there. Because these are naturals that belong to each and everybody. When is a person from the village like Mike is going to benefit from that? But these minerals belongs to each and everybody. It doesn't belong to individuals.
Maybe the investor then looking at it and said, look, I have put so much input into it, you know, in terms of financing and all that and technology, and why would you actually take that chunk of percentage?
Most of these things are bangables. Let's calculate and find out how much have you put. Each and every money that you are going to make use to set up this plant must be from our bank. And then we take it from there. You see? So, this is where the problem is. The state must hold a certain percentage of that. It doesn't make, the state is not supposed to give any money. If we have put maybe 100 billion, we can, once you set up that one, we can say, okay, we are going to give you an incentive of this. We are going to give you this. We are going to exempt you from this one in order for you to recoup your money. You see?
So, and there is also this fear, like something you alluded to a little bit, where you said,
individual who would like to have to buy this permit might not have the money, and then they partner up with the foreigners. Now, even the supply of equipment they get, now the supplies come from China, and the company has got a Namibian name, and it's owned by the managing director or chairperson, and it's Namibian, but it's actually still a Chinese company actually that we buy from. Yeah.
Yeah. These are the problem that we are sitting with. And then we should also go to countries like Iran, countries like Russia. How did they manage these systems?
Yeah.
I mean, we have an opportunity to go there and try and find out exactly how did they manage their resources. Yeah. But we are a startup. We also need to accommodate investors. But in the capitalist systems, profit, when it comes to profit, this billionaire or this investor, profit is their matrix.
Yeah, definitely.
They concentrate too much. They don't care about you.
Yeah.
And this is how it's designed. And this is where I said, until we have access to where we know the international price. You have 35 or 10%, but you don't know the international price.
Mm-hmm.
You are not allowed to go to the WTO.
Yeah.
What is that?
Yeah.
The G7s or the G20 or whatever, those ones are the one that comes and buy up your materials or your resources, and then they go and sell, and then they give you a scramble. You don't even know the sell. But now we have an example, like the uranium. So if you go if you go to France now, I have a friend who always gave me information.
Yeah.
Do you guys know that France does not have a government in place now?
It doesn't have a government in place.
It doesn't have a government.
What happened to Macron? Off.
Macron is the president.
Mm.
Now Macron wants to present him as a ceremonial president because of the failures of the economy. He wants to give the responsibility to the prime minister. Within 2 years, he have appointed about five prime ministers. Of all of them, they have resigned.
Yeah.
Ricranu now, who was a minister of defense and a long-term friend of him, who he actually is appointed to be, he failed. He resigned. And when he resigned, I think Macron was not in the country by then. He came back and said, no, you cannot resign, because right now if you resign, that means I have to resign also and call for election.
Yeah.
And you know why? It is because of the deficit's budget.
Yeah.
They cut all social grants and social benefits and all those things because of the economies. They don't have energies, you know, 54 companies, factories, they closed.
But at least in Europe, they are doing the right thing in terms of, like, I have failed, I got to go. So, yeah, for us, people still stuck on it, you know? They want even more time, even when they are failed.
The other one just resigned within 27 days.
You see?
He even failed to set up the government. You see, that is the problem, that Europe is in troubles now.
Because
if we start taking... It is not difficult for us to say, look, we are going to give me, just stand your stand. What is this of the Europeans were supposed to give us, they are supposed to give us works and technologies, not us giving them, labor, not us giving them labor. It ours belongs to us.
Yeah.
So we should take what belongs to us.
Exactly.
We can give them 30%. It's enough. They should appreciate.
Yeah. Okay. All right, man. Thanks for coming through and for sharing, for participating and contributing on this topic.
What I wanted to know, I don't even know whether we know the price of uranium.
Yeah, we don't. So, exactly, we don't. Yeah, but if we dig enough, we can be able to find.
Selling uranium, the Niger uranium, you are selling it in the market. You are selling it for 280 euro. Per kg. How much money do you think you can get?
It's massive.
Yeah. So Niger is it Niger? Yeah, Niger made about 250 billion. And they're saying about should we have to pay for the local government? I mean, the local people now. If we can make this much money from our resources.
Yeah, exactly.
And this is where I'm saying the African government, we were not supposed to go for
it. Yeah, I mean, with the resources that they have,
but that's what it's designed, that somebody is all the means of the economy. You have to go and borrow.
Now we have to squeeze all this from our own people.
Of course.
Yeah.
All right, thank you very much, Mike.
Thanks for coming through, man.
Great.
Listen to Eagle FM in Ludwig at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM.
All right. It's Friday. It's always very slow. The big takeaway today is that our neighbors are signaling a clear shift in how they view their natural wealth. They are demanding more from their mining sector, and that demand is rooted in a desire for greater economic self-determination, which is very, 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 very important. And for us in Namibia, this regional trend is also vital for us. It's a vital conversation that we can start. It's an opportunity to reflect on our own policies and to identify our strength and to honestly assess the challenges we face in ensuring that the riches beneath our soil truly, truly, truly translate into prosperity for all Namibians. So now, maybe you could be a very small business owners in Namibia. Do you feel equipped? Because as I was talking earlier, do you feel equipped, you know, to step into the mining supply chain, if opportunity arises? So what are your biggest challenges? Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, good morning, Mike.
Good morning. How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you too?
I'm all right.
Okay.
Mm.
It's very interesting to identify how we can really work for a common purpose.
Yeah.
And in terms of creating this alliance within ourselves, our domestic, within our house first, so that in order to able to compete effectively with the giants, those who are there, because themselves also, I think, consider the partnership that has been spoken there. That yes, if we go it alone, we might not make it.
Mm.
We might not have the capacity, the expertise, or the financial muscles.
Yeah.
Not talk less of the technical, you know, that kind of technology. So, but then people team up. They put their little resources they have to compete and sustain themselves.
Yeah. Is that encouraged enough? Because you are right. You are exactly right. Because what we need is that companies in Namibia have somehow combined their strength to be able to be compete. But the question is, has that encouraged enough? Do we see that quite often, you know?
Yeah, I think those who are really making it. So if you ask them, they say, no, I have to rely on some other people. Which ones were supplying this iron? This other one was supplying this matanga. I was able to cut them, process them, and put them in the, to become a tricot or whatever that Ikaurima was talking about. So, but those who are making it, who are there striving.
Mm.
So they have created some partnership. Some of them are actually having this PPP, public-private partnership.
Mm.
That also gives you some kind of strength.
Mm.
Wow. And then some stability that, yes, I'll definitely be able to compete with these things. Because if you cannot do that, then it will be very difficult for us to compete with the thing when the market is open up.
Yeah.
So it's just that for us, so the we are also, the people are very, they are making it very strict. So this potatoes must come. This type of product must not come. You know, trying to waste our balance in that manner. Otherwise, we can be swallowed up.
Yeah. So, yeah, the other challenge, I think, coming out of this is also like, you have, like, let's say, for example, you demand a quarter of... the quota of 40% to that the suppliers, the procurement, this mining company must get their supplies and goods from our local company. And then it end up that the equipment and supplies that they want, they may not be available. And then the one who is given a tender or then becomes the same organization becomes actually they come to have the share in those companies. Yes, it's a Namibian company when you at the forefront, but it's actually still owned by other foreign companies, you know, as a subsidiaries.
Yeah. So in that area, maybe just make sure that you are on the better advantage. So, and then, but you see, people also create this strategic alliance. So, because for you, you see, and that is the fear. If you cannot sustain, if the products are needed, maybe the emergency, for example, emergency issues are needed, and then you are there stranded now, you cannot supply that.
Yeah.
And then that becomes a big problem. So that's why
we
work together, we create some network and make sure that the things, when, you know, first come, first out, you know, that kind of method. So, and to make sure that nothing is compromised in terms of the life of the people there and things like that. So it's sustainability that people need. If you cannot do that, create some partnership with others, wherever the manufacturing of these things are and things like that. But if you cannot do that, that's the problem.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Thank you for coming through, Uncle Bona.
Welcome, sir.
All right. So, that's a very question. I mean, I was saying now, if you're a business owner in Namibia, do you feel equipped to step into the mining supply chain if this opportunity arises? Do we have companies? Can you join up? Can you join hands with other companies that that have other skills that you don't have? And what are the biggest hurdles? What are the biggest challenge? So if you are a worker, if you work in mining sector, for example, so what are your thoughts on this kind of nationalistic policies? Do you think companies can adapt, or will it hurt? Because it could also hurt the industry growth. So you gotta be very, very, very careful and strike a balance, because it could also hurt the industry's growth. So and for you and for everyone else of us, when you see billion being extracted from our land, what is your gut feelings? You know, what is that gut feelings? Should the government be taking a bigger slice that we're asking? And if so, how do we ensure that money actually benefits us all? Huh? So those are the questions. How do we ensure then that, you know, it's benefiting us also? We have got, you know, we have got to get this right. We have to get this right. It's not just about extracting minerals, It's about how we use those minerals to build a stronger, more equitable future for our nation. So, and what are your thoughts? That's what I'm asking. What are your thoughts? Are these moves wise? Are they a wise step towards a true economic independence? Or do they carry actually a risk we should be more wary of, you know? So it could be that those kind of move,
they may scaring off, you know, prospect investors and things like that. So what do you think? So this move, this national resource nationalization. So nationalism. 0833-66091, 0833-66091. You are welcome to come through and have your contribution.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha with the Kirokaguna, E. Matina, Omjo. Chicago Shafasana, Nana, Longishifa, Yai, Shuikamoshiwana, E. Moyao, Otaingo Gotisamwene, Anagashifa, Yanamibia, Ombitom Banawa, Orangeka. Saisanina, Omeguro, Nidanitoma, Yue, Yongishifa, Yokupitramo, Eagle FM Media House. Gwe 20 Pimimeha, U Kakombanga Nina. Kara on Kwashi Pareki, we mopo, Yomo Programma de Tu. Moambo, Dengira Selma, Odarahe Tatuimu, Datundatu, Heri Hamanotano, Oniad, Eagle FM, the Eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Yes, if you're just joining us, this is your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. Hello, and welcome back to Unpacking the Day. It's Friday, and Friday is always, you know, it has a different vibe, and it's slow. It's always slow here. I don't know why. It's Friday is always that slow. So, well, this is your daily analysis of what's making headlines, and more importantly, what it means for us here in Namibia. So, and in this segment, let's move to another. You're most welcome to come through and probably address issues, some of your concern or questions or your contribution to what we have discussed already. So, but let's move on. So we want to talk about now our beef industry. So, this is a front page. I think this is our front page, story, in today's edition of The Villager by the stories about, by Ngino Menwabali, Angala. So now the beef sector has been a source of pride for us as Namibian, a true Namibian success story. Yeah, that has been always a true Namibian success story. But lately, the story isn't so rosy, okay? It's not so rosy. And we are hearing that our abattoirs, the places where cattles are processed for either for export or for local consumptions, are struggling. They are struggling. Now, they are not getting enough. The problem is that they are not getting enough cattle ready for slaughters. So they are not getting enough cattle ready for slaughters. This is the big deal, and it is it's got us some now here. It's got us from Unpacking the Day asking why. So that's what we want to look at. So join me as we're looking at this now. I always tell you that I love the numbers. So let's unpack the numbers, because numbers always tell the stories, my dear. So whenever you read something, numbers always tell the story. So now, for the first 9 months, of this year, up until August, our export abattoirs processed only about 89,000 head of cattle. So they processed only about 89,000 head of cattle. You kind of like, 89,000, that's quite a lot. You know, that's quite a lot. No. Let me put that into perspective. That's a massive drop. It's absolutely a massive drop, because nearly half of a drop of what happened compared to actually last year. Eh? So 157,000 processed last year, in the same period last year.
157, and we only now processed about 8,000-9,000. You see the difference? Almost a half. And that's a huge chunk. Eh? It's a really a huge chunk missing from the system. Hmm? It's not just the number at the abattoirs that are down. This is not the only thing. So overall, the number of cattle being marketed, meaning farmers are bringing them to market, has dropped by over 55%. Has dropped by over 55%, and that's a significant decline as well. And it's happening across the board. That's actually happening across the board. So now you might think this means fewer cattle are being raised, you know? But here's what is worrying, okay? Now here's what is worrying and a little bit concerning as well, okay? If you read through the story. So make sure that you subscribe to The Villager. You will be able to follow and read this story in more details. So another story in more details as well. So now, as I said, this is worrying and a little bit concerning, because while our abattoirs are standing relatively empty, you know, we are still exploring, we are still actually exporting live animals, you know, mostly young ones, to South Africa. So let's hear what he has to say. Very good morning to you. Welcome to... That hurts my ear. Please don't do that. All right. So, yeah. Now, you see, that's the worry. While our abattoirs are standing relatively empty, eh? We are still actually exporting live animals, mostly young ones, so actually to our neighbor, South Africa. So in that same nine-month period, we sent almost 40,000 young cattle. Almost 40,000 young cattle, or weaners as they call them, to our neighbors. And in August alone, 8,000 weaners made that journey. So, let's try and connect the dots here, okay? Let's connect the dots with me here, all right? So, and hopefully, you know, if you're subscribed to The Villager, you have seen the story. So, now, we have abattoirs here at home with capacity to process, isn't it? We can process home, but they are not getting enough ready animals to process, okay? So they're not getting enough ready animals. That's the story. That's the angle. Yet we are sending, we are still sending those same animals, in their young state. So we're sending them to South Africa to be, now, there they become, to be fattened up, you know, they to be fattened up by them, and then, presumably processed by their abattoirs. Eh? Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, morning, Mike.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good. Sorry for the...
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was on the app. Yeah.
Yeah, welcome. Mm.
Ownership of the resources.
Yeah. Resource nationalism.
Yeah, resource nationalism. That one, it will not be happening. That one is, as I said, the independent body is not to really protect, or they doesn't know who they participated in. The people that are involving in those industries. Yeah, for them to be protected, because police sometimes it sounded good.
Yeah, much of them are good.
Yeah, but the issue is that the advantages who are finding those loopholes in the police.
Mm.
Yeah, which we call it well-connected and middleman guys.
Yeah.
That they are not really...
They are just being clever, actually. They are just being clever businesses. Yeah. Yeah.
Those are the ones that is... Because sign up with somebody who have a transport company in China and bring up his trucks to transporting in your name... you are killing people's jobs in the country.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, and those are the type of people that we have in the system. As I said, the government is really, really doing bad to us because they don't want to identify this type of people that not only by BIPA to register in the logistic company, which is not operating, or the manufacturer company, which is not operating, but is supplying in the system.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and then to look at the output of the VIT or value added is not there.
Mm.
Just the input, because the input you are doing business with the government. So those are the problems, as I said. Mm.
And just maybe to add to that, for you as well, to maybe to expand. And when we have leaders now say, you know, publicly say we need to add value to our minerals or our resources, but the system, as you just said, hasn't changed somehow. We're not going anywhere.
Yes, we don't. As I said, what we need is maybe those conferences, business conferences that we can addressing these issues with the president, and especially that's like a small group of people that they are trying their best, because we have many voices or many tones that are saying, let us creating jobs among ourselves.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, even the financial industry is not doing anything. I mean, those financial lenders is not doing anything to helping the newcomer.
Yeah, exactly. It's
also the problem, because if you look at the EBN or look at Agribank, who are now a part of the Youth Development Fund,
yeah,
they didn't approve to a lot of them because they don't want them to be a participant. And at the end of the day, it's already killing the hand of job creation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so those are the problem, because I'm now looking at second topic, when we are talking about the cattle, the beef industry. Mm. If you look at how they killed this Red Frey Abattoir, it was killed by the government entity, which is Agribank. And on top of that, it is something that is already dismoral, no matter they putting up a new tenders or wanting a new participant to do it. What is the difference between the old one and the new one?
Yeah.
Mm. How are you going to help him? Because you are supposed to negotiate with that type of people so that he can also buying the cattle. Because if you look at Mitco, the loss of that 400 cattle. It was from the communal land, right?
Mm.
Yeah, because the communal land, I have a problem with that. I'm also part of those ones that know that when you are selling a cattle with a tag, some of these people, they don't removing their tag on.
Yeah.
Yeah, from their names. It's not like when you are selling a car, you're making sure that the following year, I will not be in credit of this car. I have to make sure that I remove this car from my name.
Yeah.
But in the cattle issue, you find it that it's Mitco who is buying it, and Mitco is the one that is controlling the tag within the DVS, which is now a problem. The issue, the permit, transport permit was issued by the DVS, and Mitco is the one that is buying those cattle.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, the loophole coming there because of the movement of the cattle. When it went into the quarantine of those farm quarantine or feeding lotter quarantine camp, they didn't removing them as a purpose of slaughtering them. So at the end of the day, that is how the problem, that is how we have a lot of head cattle on the system that is already gone.
Yeah.
So
The other thing is, maybe while you're there, you are in this sector. So the reasons of, is there any other maybe reasons why we more prefer to sell this young winner, young cattle, to South Africa, for example, rather than actually processing them here?
Yeah, the issue, the South African market is totally different from ours because of the luxury, big luxury industry there, which is the hotels and the middle class people that is there.
Mm.
So for them to, the price is even good and they are selling quicker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, than here, because here you can maybe slaughtering 20 or 25. Yeah. Yeah, 20 or 25 cattle a day. Well, in a day you are selling more than 100 cattle a day.
Yeah.
So it's a free market.
Yeah.
That you can see that it's running in the long run is quicker, because the more you sell, is the more you make money.
Exactly.
Yeah. And the more you are raising those small winners, where you can make money out of it. It's not that they are manipulating the system. No. It's just like when you are having a door open for you in the American market.
Yeah.
It's not like comparing to the Chinese market. You might end up not selling a lot in China than in the United States, because if you look at the brand, the French brand, they are doing good in America.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same, our winners here, they are doing good in South Africa because of the hotels that are there, because of the middle class that is out there. So here we don't have a lot of middle class in shops. If you look at the region, for example, that the northern region, you cannot find even 20 or 30 people that is eating 8 grand in there. Even if you go to the shops, and you're not finding 8 grand in those areas.
And it's true.
So at the end of the day, the market is not here. Because what we don't understand is that the value of the money that I'm making, is more important to me. I need to eat healthy. I need to eat quality stuff. That is how the money is playing a big role into the one that is I make, not in the one that is I collecting.
Yeah.
So those are the type of problems that you might, not blaming the sellers, but why you are choosing the South African market. If they could be having even Japan or Singapore, they can also cross into that area. Unfortunately, our ambassadors who are negotiating with us, because our meat, even if you look at the Windu Gabbard that is winning the Grade A, A star for the doing good on meat. It's because of that. We are really standing in good. That's why I'm saying, if you could be having a lot of abattoirs, if you could have a lot of meat market or slaughtering, independent slaughtering, then we could do more. Or encouraging that is not part of Namibia, that is have a lot of petrols. Yeah. If because the problem here, Mitco is manipulating the price of this country. So they do as I said, those government people, they have problems. I don't know about the president, but I'm talking about those ET CEOs.
Yeah.
So they are the one that is killing the business. If you go to the north and doing the research about why you are not selling your petrol to Mitco, they were telling a different story. So those are the problems that we have when it comes to our business, when it comes to people that is wanting to be a participant. Because remember, there is in some, and we have a lot of them that is are collecting money from the government and they don't do anything. And we are here now, they are investing more than 200 million, a billion in overseas. So that is the problem I'm saying. There is in some people who are getting tired of collecting money without increasing or investing their money in the local. So the financial lender like Bengu Winduk, for example, want to do the best, but they are encouraging by the Bono, the Bank of Namibia.
Yeah,
because he's not the one. Bank of Namibia is the one that is channeling the money into the, we're supposed to channel the money into the local manufacturer, local processing, local traders there to be having hand on.
Yeah.
But they are choosing. They have choosing of type of product that they want into funds. Yeah, if you look at the medicine, for example, they are also choosing type of the funds. So we have a lot of those. If you go to all the mutual, you're finding a list of those companies that they are getting money from, GIPF. But they're not giving money to people.
Yeah.
They are repeating giving to their elite. And the elite are not doing anything. Some of these elites, they are even investing that GIPF money into overseas. So that is problems. It's a systematical problem that we are having in the government. And in Africa will be in that way because of the resources that you are calling yourself, we are rich.
Yeah,
but it's not yeah. rich if it's yeah. not if in your head.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah. It's what I'm using to telling people that you know Shikwanyama people that they like it to call. Hey, I'm burning from the rich family. You are burning from the rich, but what are you doing in yourself?
Yeah.
To be a rich. They don't do that. They, right. That is the way the problem. Yeah. Okay.
All right. All right, man. Thank you. Thank you for coming through. Yeah. Yeah. Well, if it's not in your hands, definitely, you know, whoever it's in hands of somebody so would decide otherwise. Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day. Good morning. How's that one? You are welcome to come back. So make sure that you come back and have your points made. So now we're looking at, okay, let's, very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, that Mike, how are you?
I'm fine, man. Yourself?
Under the weather, man.
Oh. Yeah, is it raining in Bentuk?
Yeah, no, it's just a cloud. Yeah, it's dropping a bit.
Oh, okay.
Domestic, I don't know.
That's a good, it must be a very nice weather you guys having.
Yeah, maybe it's because of the change of the weather. Ish, sickness.
Yeah. For me, I did something today. I just woke up with slight headache. Then I took my wife's actually pill. I didn't even ask what they are. And I thought it's a pain. Yeah, the headache is gone. But I was, this whole morning, I'm so drowsy, really drowsy, hardly concentrating, seriously.
I'm telling you.
It's worse. Yeah.
I think maybe it's because of the change of the what? The season.
Yeah.
But anyway, Mike, when it comes to African, especially natural resources, when it comes to mine.
Yeah.
Do you remember Namibia is proposing the what? 51%.
51%, yeah. Yeah. So, 51%,
It's really a laughable thing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, even though people are willing to come in, who is able to pay that 51%? To whom?
Yeah, would you make it? Anna, now the question is that would you make it a free state stake? You know that the government doesn't have to put in anything. It's just that you do all what you need to do, but then this is a free stake for the government, like Zimbabwe is doing. Or would you say, okay, we would have companies in Namibia who have the majority ownership? You know, then that becomes a problem because now you ask, do they have the technology? Do they have the expert? Do they have the money? Do they have, you know? So it comes to that. Yeah?
I think for me, the Zimbabwean way is going to work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where you are saying no, 26%, is 26 or 30?
Yeah, 26, I think, yeah.
Yeah, at least 26 are going to the state, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
Because remember, we have a state where we are having like a 3% in some of the mines, which are doing well.
Yeah.
Look here, especially I think we have 3 or 5, less than 10 in Losing, Lanyon. And if you look, what needs, natures, even will make us, a lot of us, to wake up when it comes to this natural resource like uranium, because much of us, we don't care about it.
Yeah.
And our leaders, they make sure that we must not able to understand those things, because we might ask a lot of questions. You remember the issue of the letter?
Yeah.
He's saying, no, do it uranium. What are we going to do? But When it's a Niger who is doing it. But seriously, I think it's a hard time for Namibia. But Lee, my take is that when they are saying upcoming, why not starting with the one who is already established? Yeah, because remember, it will be going to be hard for those one who are coming in, and they learn from the example of that. Why we have a 3% in Uranium, but now we want to charge a 51%.
Yeah.
William, just coming in.
Yeah. The other thing is the financial institution, are they willing to fund you?
Exactly.
As an SME or entrepreneur, you know?
Entrepreneur, yeah. And my take is that once it's going to the, I think if it's going to the state, that's better. Because now, remember, the way even the Botswana and the Zambia are proposing, those who are not just going to the elite, the people who are already in the circle of eating. But for me, the Zimbabwean way, I think, is the best one.
Yeah.
Where the state is able to control those. Because remember one thing, even though now we in B2GOD, we're having a lot of Namibian who are having what? A good share there. What they do?
So there are moments, there are moments you, is a call coming in or what? Or something. There are you are breaking up a little bit, yeah.
Oh, maybe because of the what? But I can hear you.
I completely can't hear you now.
Oh, because of maybe the what? I think it's a network issue.
Hello?
Hello, can you hear
me? You are gone. I can't hear you now, exactly. So try later again. Try later again.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I couldn't hear you anymore. All right? So please do try again. Yeah. All right. So, yeah. So we were talking about that just to recap where we stopped. Now I think, we're saying that, you know, what something that is actually worrying when you're looking at it. Morning. Good morning.
Yeah, Meg, can you hear me now?
Good morning.
Good morning, you can hear me?
Could be on my side. Is this Mandumege?
Yeah.
I can't hear you. It could be on my side, but everything is fine on this side.
But I think it's on your side, because...
Unfortunately, I can't hear you anymore.
Sure.
If it's Mandumege, I can't hear you. Yeah. I'm sorry. Someone else call. Let me see if this is my line or it's what's happening. Yeah. So I don't know. All right. 08-333-66091. So what we're looking, what I was talking is what is concerning is that while our abattoirs are standing, you know, empty, we are still actually exporting live animals, and mostly young ones to South Africa. Okay, let's see if this has changed. Good morning.
Bom dia, família.
Good morning.
Hello. Bom dia.
I think it's me, man.
Then
it has to be on my side. I don't know where...
Yeah, you are very well.
What's happening? Can you hear me?
Very, very well.
Yeah, I can hear. Yeah. Hello?
Hello, I think it's in your side.
Yeah, it was on my side. I can hear now, yeah.
Okay, I think you asked for phone. Let us help you.
Can you hear me? What is this?
Can you hear me now? His line's not
Yeah, it's on my, I can hear now. Now it's on.
Okay. I don't want to take long. I want to leave Mandeme to come back. Hello? Yes, sir.
Where is this? Okay, I got the problem. I know what was the problem. Okay.
You're in trouble, not us.
I can hear you now. I can hear you.
Okay. I don't take long, but we are in the state. What?
The what?
you are what the topic of today, you were talking about
Two things. One was looking at the national resource nationalization, which actually countries deciding to say no. Have we had enough? We are not actually benefiting from our resources. We want some stake in those mining companies. And they were different. And we looked at Zambia, Zimbabwe, and Botswana. So each have a different look, a different take on what they want, you know. So, yeah, that's what we look at. And then also we're looking at the abattoir, I mean the Namibian beef, its industry, that it's going a little bit down in terms of processing and selling the animals. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Before I go, you know, like your name in Mike is Miguelito.
Yeah, Miguelito.
Okay. I think Miguelito is in Spain or in Brazilian, but in Portuguese it's Miguel.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you have different names, and in English is Mike.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think what you say, just to add on it, is like, on my view, I think like the government need to do more on the three things for me. First, to control the agriculture.
Yeah.
Even though we want to take part of it, but the government should be the priority on the or the takeover.
Mm.
Then we take from our government. Even though I want to take come up with my company, so the government is already catering for me, you know. Not for me to go out of the country to get somebody who is getting more money from the country and chipping out our money. And then the agriculture, the on the sea also being controlled by the government, and the tourism sector.
Yeah.
You know? Those three things are already enough our country to do very, very well. So if the government really wake up and do those things, would be fine. Because if now, as you said, we come up with a company, you remember the issue of the condoms, this tender?
Yeah.
This guy is having 2 employees only, which is getting a lot of billions.
Yeah.
You know, so we want somebody who gets the government control. So when I come on board, the government is the right to cater for me. So tell me, listen, if you for me to be here, you should have how many employees? And you pay them this much, because we give you this money to see how far can we grow to growing our economy and our business sector in that matter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think even if you look around the country, which are doing very, very well today, they only have control of 3 things: the tourism sector, the fish industry, and the agriculture. Look now. Today we have like a tundra doing well, employing a lot of people. All of these years that we saw a tundra which used to be there.
Yeah.
Because of the leadership, because of the, you know, the government kind of, and things are not transparent there now.
No, give it time. So we still need to see after 2 or 3 years. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, we should give really more time and give more attention on that sector of agriculture, because that is the backbone of the economy to grow.
Yeah.
Because if you think about the money you buy put outside, if you close that gap, that money you can invest in the youth and the health and the country.
Yeah.
For us to have more money in the country and do well.
That's the question. The question is, do we see, when with all this investment that coming in, or with all the mining that we have, or the fishing, and do we see that money trickling into communities, improving living standard of people? That's always the problem that we see.
Yes.
Yeah.
They should have a question mark as well to say, okay, now from January, not this year, but next year, from January, to 6 months, maybe the first quarter is 6 or 3 months. How much do we get, and what do we do?
Yeah.
And what can we have? What can we do if we have this kind of amount of money to help our community and stuff, so on? And now if we have this kind of things are going the wrong direction, as you say, that the meat sector they don't have enough for capital to, no, should be need that capital. The system should be up to date, you know. Now, if you give an example, think about the Tunda. All of this is nothing was happening there. But out of the sudden, you have something. So, meaning the system was wrong.
Yeah,
system was wrong. So, if you have a wrong system, always you go, you have this kind of problem. No enough meat, no enough cattle, no enough food in the country because the system is wrong. Let me end up there. I'll give you to my brother to come and finish his point.
All right. Now, thanks for coming through.
All right.
Mm. Very good morning to you. The problem, Mandume, the problem was on one side. Yeah, so if you want to come back so you and finish your point, you're most welcome. So 0833-66-091. So, yeah, I was talking about, good morning. Good morning.
Yeah, Mike, I'm back again.
Yeah.
You see, the reason why I'm saying I don't agree with the proposals or the policies that the Botswanian governments are proposing.
Yeah.
Let me give you an example. If you take the fishing industry here in Namibia, during Sem Nujoma, the fishing industry was not in the hand of individuals.
Yeah.
Now, 90% of the fishing industry is in the hand of individuals. Exactly the same way the Botswana government is proposing.
Yeah.
Who are the beneficiaries of the fishing industry, the fishing quotas now?
So are you saying the Botswana's approach was that it's in the hands of more, it's more in the hands of the individual than the government?
I haven't gone through it, but I just listened as you were actually trying to explain it.
Mm.
It says that it's more like the South African policy, whereby when a private company comes in, 30% should be given to the local company.
Mm.
Yeah, but you know, these are natural resources that belongs to each and every individual that lives in that country. When you go around, you see when these peoples were actually given the fishing quotas here in Namibia, they were, most of them, they went and say, no, I'm going to what? There was a policy whereby you have to go to, like, some of them went to Tsunkwe, some of them went to Gama, some of them, they register there. They say they are going to once they get the money, they are going to what? To share these monies with the communities. But you don't see any of those. You don't see that impact. You don't see anybody with the fishing quotas does that. Yeah. And this is the reason why we're saying that policies will only benefit the elite.
Yeah.
You see? It will only benefit the elite. But if you look at the 19, that time of Sem Nujoma, the fishing industries generated about 8 billion per year or something like that.
Yeah.
And you know, there are two industries there, like the sea itself and then the harbor. Mm. It's also an industry on its own.
Yeah.
Where do those money go? Exactly. Why don't we see an impact of those monies in terms of economy?
Yeah.
You see? It's exactly the same way of us going out to go and look for investor to come and invest in our country.
Mm.
They come in numbers, and then we don't see, and then we develop this need that perhaps maybe we still need more, but at the end of the day, you are just selling your country.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is where I'm saying a system is completely wrong.
Mm.
I'm coming. The system is completely wrong, and we need to change it. And then we need to change the methods that we somehow apply within these systems, because it doesn't work for us. Like I mentioned earlier, whereby Mike got a license of EPLs to go and mine diamond somewhere. They find that block of diamond. Mike does not have the resources. And then the investor that you, that is your partners took advantage of you and say, let me just buy you out.
Right.
The investor buy the license. It's his 100%. You see? So but the government share must be automatic.
Yeah.
Everything that is here, not the, the state's share must be automatic.
All right. So let's see if we can get someone quickly as well.
Yeah. All right. Thanks.
Thanks for coming back. Yeah?
Okay. Bye.
All right.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the I. The I.
All right, welcome back. And today we're discussing about the resource nationalisms. So, and on the line, I have Tate Walenga. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Gashavili, and all your listeners.
Yeah. Now, so we're talking about resource nationalism, where countries said, where essentially are pushing by saying Africa, we need to get a bigger share of the pie when it comes to our natural resources. So what is your thought on that?
No, that's very much long overdue, and I like the topic.
Yeah.
Those are the type of topics we should be having every day on Eagle FM, talking about the nature of our economy and where we stand.
Yeah.
Instead of focusing on many other things. Beautiful topic, and yes, Zambia, Botswana, and everybody else on the continent, basically. They are doing the right thing for the resources to be owned by locals, by the citizens.
Yeah.
But let me try to clarify one thing, maybe.
Yeah.
I think there is a confusion somewhere. When you are saying the resources must be owned by the state, state does not necessarily connote government only. Who is the state? The state is the people. Who is the government? The government is the people. So for as long as the resources are owned by Namibians, whether it's in the name of the state or individuals, it's perfect.
Yeah.
Governments world over are not known to be the best keepers of the business side of the natural resources. However, if you look at other countries, there are countries who have done a great job by directly being involved in the business or in the economic activities.
Yeah.
Of their countries. We have many examples. I mean, if you look at what the Arab countries are doing.
Yeah.
Some of the natural resources are directly owned by government, but yes, some of them are owned by the individuals, but those individuals own them on behalf of the state.
Is this the case now when it comes to, let's take for example, fisheries then? So, fisheries ownership.
The problem with the current setup we have, especially the fishing sector, is that the resources are not necessarily owned by individuals on behalf of the state.
Yeah.
The only reason I want to believe why we are vocal about fishing industry and not other sectors is because we see some of our own.
Mm.
Their life has probably changed or improved because they are involved in the fishing sectors.
Yeah.
That's why we are talking about the fishing sector. But there is no difference between the fisheries as the natural resources and other minerals. It's the same.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, these individuals, the law, the current law that they have used to acquire those licenses for yeah. to be involved in the fishery sector, it was done in the name of free market economy.
Mm.
And you cannot, after they have gotten what they have gotten through a current system that is one-sided, they were creative enough to use the very same law which was benefiting other people. If you look at the fishing industries, fishing industry 20 years ago,
yeah.
the picture was totally different. It was not as it is now. So it was other people who were owning those resources from people from faraway places. Until such a time, a person may so rest in peace, and I will keep repeating this because that's the truth. Until late Abraham Iyambo, Dr. late Abraham Iyambo came into that ministry, the fishery sector was owned by people from faraway places, and he changed the law to say no, no. And remember this, there are two levels when it comes to the fishing industry. What government gives you first, they give you the rights, the fishing rights. And thereafter, they give you quotas, the fishing quotas. Now, what is supposed to happen is to say, yes, we can give you the rights, but we can only give you the fishing quotas on condition, and you put up your conditions. Do you understand? So the license, you can give it to anybody, the quota. But you what Abraham, late Abraham has done is he started with the fishing quota, that it can only be given to Namibian, to 51% on Namibian owned companies.
Now, just on 51%, would that be possible when it comes to mining, for example, or maybe green hydrogen sector? Would that be possible?
My good people, there is nothing impossible for as long as the resources are yours. This thing we are being told that apparently mining industry is expensive.
Mm.
Is expensive for who? Is expensive for who? It's only expensive for you. Because your own money, you are using your own money, the savings of this country, and invest it in other countries abroad. But why are you not using your savings that you are exporting? Ne? In the name of the sovereign fund. In the name of investment that is being shipped out of the country from GIPF money. Why can't you use those resources to invest in the in the mining industry? Why can't you do that? Because even those blacks who are involved in the fishing industries today, they didn't have but because they have that license and the quotas, they went to financial institutions and borrow money, because that is already money. The license you are holding is money. So the same applies to the fishing, I mean to the mining industry. If it's proven that there are resources in this area, and we have committed, we have a grant funding that is given to companies who are serious to explore our terrain and prove that there are resources to this effect, money should not be a problem, because the people whom today we are saying they are investing in the mining industry, you will be surprised where they are getting the money from to do that. They are getting them from the GIPS of this world in their countries. And it's possibly also the GIPF money that is being used. They go, because GIPF some of its money is invested on stock exchanges all over the world. So they take that money, GIPF money, to come and explore here in Namibia. It's a known fact.
Yeah. So, but why there is this notion of kind of like, okay, that the whole ideas of having a 50% or 51% ownership would also deter or create fear among investment, or no one to want to invest because, you know, if they feel that they won't be actually be able to make profit as they would if they have a higher percentage on that.
I have no problem if ordinary citizens, they will advance such a notion. But if it's a policymaker, a person who is in a position of power advancing such a notion, that is ignorance of the highest order.
Yeah.
Because they know the truth that things can be done better than they are doing now today.
Yeah.
That's just ignorance. And people who say, go in a position of power today, and they are representing you and I. But when they get into those positions, all of a sudden, they are quoting a law.
Mm.
The law says this, the law says that. But are we forgetting that even apartheid was a law?
It was a law, yeah.
It was a law.
Yeah.
So what are we talking about?
Yeah. So, yeah. Lastly, anything that Mr. Waleng, you would like to say? Because we're training.
No, we are in a situation where we are today because of our own decisions. We should not be blaming people from faraway places.
Yeah, yeah.
You already have political power. So what more do you want in order to change the situation for your people?
Exactly, yeah.
It's only political power. You have it. So what is this that you are in a position of power but you are still blaming apartheid? For what? Apartheid left this country 35 years and counting.
Yeah.
We are now the government, so it's wrong to still climbing on that cat tree without roots, which are apartheid, this and that. No, the destiny is in our own hands.
Yeah. All right, Mr. Walinga, well, have a very good weekend. Good weekend for you, yeah?
Likewise, I will send you my invoice.
Thank you for coming through, yeah.
Bye, thank you.
All right. Well, and that's actually bring us to the end of Unpacking the Day this morning. Let's do the same thing again next week on Monday. Let's book our seat already for Monday. The same time on the same, your favorite radio station, Eagle FM. So I will leave you in the capable hand of Mr. Franz. He's back. I think he's back yesterday. It was Nalvanda who was in on his behalf, but he's back and he's going to talk about the whole situation that is taking place in Madagascar. So make sure that you join him. Stay tuned and join him as we cross to winter. For me, Mike Oshaveli, until tomorrow. Goodbye for now.